Good morning, church. Welcome to Pantai Baptist Church morning service. There's something wrong with my throat this morning. So pray for me, you know, that there will be no there to block it. Now, as you can see, this morning I was preaching on Zoom to Rasajaya Baptist Church. The same thing happened. Please excuse me. Now, according to the book, All the Prayers of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer, he says that apart from Psalms, which is a prayer book by itself, the Bible records no fewer than 650 definite prayers, of which no less than 450 have recorded answers. If you do a multiplication or a division, you will find that 69.2% of the Bible's 650 prayers have answers. And in fact, for this week, actually, I was given the topic, prayer. It's such a huge thing, you know, so I don't know where to begin, you know, for prayer. So actually, I have prepared the Lord's Prayer from Lehem Strauss' book. And he said, actually, the Lord's Prayer is history's most debated Bible. The Lord's Prayer is the Lord's Prayer is the history's most debated Bible. But because we understand, you know, from our pastoral meeting, Pastor Wallace is in charge of the prayer ministry, you know, and praise the Lord, he's able to get four teams of four person each, four sisters each. So we have actually 16 prayer warriors, headed by Sister Farah, Stella, Serena, and So Ching. And each of these four groups is in charge of praying for all the ministries of our church. And I think this is a very good move. So because of that, you know, I changed my from the Lord's Prayer to a praying church, because we need to be a praying church. And this reminds me of the time, you know, I was in Straits Baptist Church more than 20 years ago. Actually, there was also a prayer chain, you know, started by the ladies' fellowship in Straits Baptist Church. And at the time, of course, there was no WhatsApp, you know. And so what they did was, the prayer chain, anybody have any prayer request, they can ring up to the leader, and the leader will pass it to the second and the third and the fourth. I forgot how long the chain was, or maybe it was 20 sisters. And so the last one who received, you know, that prayer request, and will ring back to the leader and tell them, you know, the change has not been broken. We have prayed, all 20 sisters have prayed for the prayer request. And any answer prayers also we will put up in that prayer chain, you know, for people to know that their prayer has been answered. And when we came down to Cornerstone Baptist Church in 2010, Allison was able to start something like that, you know, like a prayer chain. And of course, the time we have the WhatsApp already, 2010, so we have the WhatsApp. So they have this prayer also started by just the sisters only, you know. Strangely, you know, by the sisters, just now, as I said to you, you know, the four leaders of this team also headed by four sisters. And started by the four sisters. So it's something like a prayer chain. By the time you don't have to, you know, pass it on one to another. You just put the prayer item, and whoever pray for it, and with answer, you just tell them, you know, it's been answered, and we praise God for that. Started with the sisters in Cornerstone Baptist Church, but later the men also say, hey, how come we are left out, you know? Why can't we join also this prayer chain? So praise the Lord, you know, the church became a praying church. So my topic this morning is a praying church. And the purpose to encourage everyone, not just the 16 prayer warriors, but everyone, if you're a member of Pantai Baptist Church, if you are even a regular worshipper, or not a regular worshipper yet, hopefully one day you will be, you know, to pray for the church, pray for the pastors, pray for those who are in need, pray for the nation, pray for the whole world. And after hearing this prayer this morning, if we have more people joining our Saturday morning prayer, which is at 8:30, you know, at the moment we hit about 40 to 50. And then on Monday, we have the Caris group on Monday morning. So if after hearing this, we have more people join to this praying group, then I would take it that, you know, this message has not gone to one ear and come out of the other. You know, at least it has people joining us that. So let's now commit this time to the Lord. Father God, we want to thank you this morning for bringing us here to listen to the sermon of a praying church. Indeed, Lord, we know this is what you want us to be, a church, to be a praying church. So we pray for all those who are listening, Lord, that you will touch our hearts and help us to be prayer warriors, not just praying for ourselves, but praying for those whoever who is in need. For the rest of the time, we pray, Lord, that you will teach us and be with us. In Jesus' name, we pray all this. Amen. Amen. Now, our Lord mentioned the word church only twice in the Gospel. One, of course, is Matthew 16, 18. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This, of course, if you remember, this is a confession of Peter saying that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, and upon this confession, you know, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The second mention is also in the book of Matthew 18:17. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go alone to see him. If he can settle the whole thing, praise the Lord. But if he doesn't listen to you, then you bring along one or two others to speak to him, you know, to reconcile. And again, if he doesn't, listen to it, then tell it to the church. That's the second time the word came out. Second to the church. And then if he doesn't even listen to the church, treat him as a pagan or a tax collector. Now, you must understand that the church wasn't formed yet, you know. Most scholars think that it was formed in the Acts or 2, and some, believe that it was formed on the first century. But it doesn't matter, when we leave it to the theologians to argue over that. Like, you know, that's not our point. The point is that the two words church was mentioned before, you know, the church was even formed. Now, when Jesus said that, of course, he has in mind one day, you know, there will be a church. But what type of a church you think our Lord was thinking that we should have? Matthew 21:13 will give us an idea. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. I'm sure many of you know the incident, you know, where there's a selling in the church, and people who have forgotten to bring their sacrifices, you know, and then they are charged off exorbitant prices, you know, to buy those sparrows or whatever that needs, you know, for the sacrifices. So they were robbing the people who came to worship God. So, you know, our Lord quoted this from Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves, you know. So what we want actually, it is for the church, for any church in fact, to be a house of prayer, a house of prayer. I've pastored 6 churches full-time and a few, you know, part-time. But in all those experiences, and not only in the churches that I pastor, I'm sure if you ask any church, they will tell you the least attended meeting in a church is the prayer meeting. The least attended meeting in the church all over the world is the prayer meeting. So we want to thank God, you know, that in our church, we have pastors, elders, you know, deacons, and ministry leaders who so emphasize, you know, that the church is, praying is so important. John Maxwell, you know, he says that no organization can rise higher than the leaders itself. Whatever organization, if the leaders only come up to, you know, maybe 6, you'll be 6. And the same thing goes to the church. I was saying the same thing. No church can rise higher than the spiritual level of its leaders. No church. You know, if a church pastor or an elder is not interested in emphasizing prayer, then how can we encourage the people to come to pray? We can't. You know? So for a pastor, you must lead by example. You know? And for the elders, you must lead by example. For ministry leaders, you must lead by examples. And we thank God. You know, Pantai Baptist Church, although I've been here only 2 over years, we see that right from the time when Pastor Isaac was emphasizing, we need to be a praying church. You know, we need to be a praying church. We need to have more people coming to prayer meeting, not just on the Saturday morning, but on Wednesday. The leaders, you know, we pray every Wednesday. And we thank God all the elders, the pastors, and the leaders of ministry, deacon and deaconesses, they will come unless they have something on, unless they have to work or they're not well or they are out of the country, they will join us. So we thank God for that. So we thank God for that. So that's why we need a praying church this morning as we look into the book of Acts. You know, I will just have 3 points. I'm the old school. We are taught the old school 3-point sermon. Easy for you to understand, easy for me to preach. I don't have to go anywhere, you know. So my 3 points is first that, you know, the prayer and powers for evangelism. We'll look at those verses later on. Then the secondly is prayer will wrought miracles. And third, prayer and powers for missions. Here we see that, you know, the first thing is prayer and powers for evangelism. If we look at the Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that is what the Lord promises. He says that, you know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then we see after that, you know, from chapter 1, that was in verse 8, verse 14, it says, they join together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. See, immediately after verse 8, you know, although they've been told that, you know, they will receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon them, then they went back and immediately, you know, they start a prayer meeting, praying for that, verse 14. And then in verse 24, in the same chapter, when they, you know, when Peter say, you know, because of Judas that has betrayed us, we need to pick somebody to replace him. So they also pray. Verse 24, then they pray, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, with Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lot, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. See, they started with a prayer meeting and even choosing, you know, somebody to replace Judas. Again, they prayed. You know. So this is, that's the reason they pray. And because of that, you know, you look at verse 24, chapter 2, verse 41. It says that, you know, those who will accept his message. You see, Peter prayed a very powerful message on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues. And after the message, in verse 24, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number. Why was it? Because they pray. You know, of course, the Holy Spirit gave them power, but they pray. You know, 3,000 of them, you know, were added. And in verse 42, and because of that, you know, of the 3,000, you see, you follow the fellowship of believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. This group of people again continue to pray. Prayer is so important to them. Brothers and sisters, you know, prayer gives us, you know, the power to evangelize those we want, you know, to believe in the Lord. And going to chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Again, you see, although he has been, God has powerfully used him, 3,000 believe in the Lord. Yet, you know, at the time of prayer, again, they continue to pray. And because of that, you know, you follow the story, Peter heals the crippled beggar. He heals her. Why? Because prayer gives him the power to do that. And then chapter 4, verse 4, you know, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. From 3,000, 2,000 was added, and then it was 5,000. You see? So you see here, actually, how the Lord have used this group of people because they were praying. You know, and then go down the same chapter in verse 23 and 24. It says, on their release, they were taken, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to the Lord, you know. And then going to verse 31, it says, after they pray, The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Friends, brothers and sisters, you know, look at these disciples. When Christ was hung on the cross, all of them ran away, deserted. And even Peter denied Christ 3 times. How is it they're able now, you know, to be so powerfully used by God? Because they pray. Of course, they saw the Lord risen. They saw Christ taken up, you know, and they saw that, the ascension, they saw all that. But it is more because, you know, they pray, you know. From a group of frightened, you know, disciples running away, we see them coming to the Lord. We see how God has used them for evangelism, because the Lord has given them the mandate, you know, once you have the power from the Holy Spirit, go and share the gospel. We thank God, you know, with our prayer emphasis every week. We have been praying for 5 individuals. We also have 2 families. And recently, this week, we also have 2 sisters from the CG, a group, to ask us to pray for the salvation of their family members. You need to pray. Yes, starting point is to pray. One of the greatest wishes of Christians is for their family members to become Christians. Truly, isn't it, for us? One of the greatest wishes, you know, because as I share with one of my devotion, you know, when I was in Dallas, you know, I was attending this evangelism class, and the lecturer there, you know, was telling us, he say it was so good of you to come all over the world to come and learn evangelism so that you can go back and share, you know, with the people all over the world. But one question I want to ask you: what if during these 2 years or 4 years you are here, you know, if your parents who are not Christians, they pass away, do you realize you won't be able to see them again? It struck us, you know. We were all very happy, you know, this professor praising us for coming all over the world, you know, traveling half over the world to go and learn evangelism. What about your parents? What about your brothers and sisters? What about your children, if you have children? You know, if they pass away before you go back or before you share the gospel to them, you will never see them again. Remember the rich fool in the parable of the Lazarus? You know, this rich fool was in hell. And yet, while he was in hell, you know, he told Abraham, why don't you send people to my 5 brothers, you know, to share the gospel with them? Otherwise, they will come to the same place with me. Now, if somebody in hell, you know, is so concerned about his brothers that they will not go to the place of suffering, how much more we Christians? How much more those who are departed and now in heaven, you know, they are concerned for their brothers and sisters or for their parents or for their family members or husbands or wife, whoever, who are not Christians yet. How much more, you know, they are concerned that they will, you know, open their hearts and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'm sure there's a reason, you know, we have 5 individuals and we have 4 families asking the church to pray that their family members will come to know the Lord. And I'm sure there are much, much more. Yes, if you need us to pray, you know, send your names to us, and we will continue to pray for them. But first, pray for God to open their hearts. You know, sometimes it's very, maybe your parents, your husband, you know, one sister was, just last week asked me, your husband, Pastor, please pray for my husband that he will one day accept the Lord as his personal Savior. It's so important, but you need to pray yourself, to not just the church, you know, need to pray. You remember, I always tell, you know, sometimes people will tell me, say, Pastor, I've been praying for my family members. They seem to be so hard-hearted. They seem to not want to accept the gospel. I say, pray for God to reveal himself to them. Pray that. In my devotion, I also share that. You remember Paul on the road to Damascus? You think Paul, with his so much learning, one of the, you know, star student of Gamaliel, you think any of those disciples could have convinced him? I don't think any of them could. You know, even the Sanhedrin in chapter 4, verse 13 say, you know, they were astonished at Peter and John. They were unschooled. An ordinary man. How can they speak with so much boldness? How can they be so much zeal, you know? They cannot believe that. So what you can pray you know, for your unbelief parents or whoever it is, you know. So you pray that God will reveal himself to them. When I was sharing that, my son Simon, he said, share with me. He said, true. When he was in Beijing, you know, one of the sisters also said, you know, her mother is very hard-hearted. She has been praying for the mother for a long time, and yet the mother has not believed. So the mother said, unless God reveal himself to me, then I will believe. True enough, few days later in her dream, God spoke to her. And now she has accepted the Lord as her personal savior. You can do that. Same thing. Not just the church praying for you, you know. You need to do something and ask God to pray fervently for those, you know, for the power of evangelism. So that, you know, you can truly, somehow God will do something. You know, it is your desire. How much you want your parents or your loved ones to come to know the Lord? How much do you want that, you know, you will spend eternity with them in heaven? If it is, then it is your time to pray for them. Ask the church to pray for them, and you pray, continue to pray. This prayer that God, you will reveal yourself to them in a special way. God works, you know, God indeed works wonders and miracles in our midst, even today. And that comes to our second point. Prayer wrought miracles. Not only it empowers us for evangelism, you know, it also wrought miracles. In Acts chapter 12, you know, verse 5, you understand, I mean, we went through that and see that Peter was in prison, you know. But here it says that in verse 12, verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was in prison. But what did the church do? They were not frightened. They were not running away. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him, you know. And then, of course, you know the miracle when an angel came and, you know, and took Peter out of prison. Even the gates opened, you know, the gates opened. It opened by itself. They passed through the first and second guard and then came to the iron gate leading to the city. Verse 10, it opened for them by itself and they went through, you know. And then Peter didn't know what was happening, no? He says, and then in verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. And then verse 12, now when this has dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. This exactly is in verse 5. You know, we already know that they were all praying for him. And so here it says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. And then you're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You see, brothers and sisters, the prayer of the church when Peter was in prison, while he was in prison, you know, the angels came, answered prayer instantly, and brought Peter out to their presence to show them that, you know, what they pray for, you know, it is real. God has answered their prayer. Another incident, you know, from the book of Acts, chapter 16, Paul. Paul, chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison. This is again very episode that many of you know. You know, in verse 25, he says Peter was in prison. He said, about midnight, Peter and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake and that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. This is another, you know, a miracle wrought by the prayer of Paul, you know, and Silas. They were praying. I'm not sure whether they were praying for a miracle or not, but they were praying, you know. And they were even singing hymns. You know, we were singing hymns. And so you see that God performs miracles even in our day. Can God perform miracles even to this day? Now, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why not? You see, the only reason we see less of miracles today is God's people are praying less. We are not knocking at the throne of grace. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We need to come to God and ask for miracles. I'm sure in our church, you remember the baby Adriel, you know, the grand-nephew of Pastor Isaac. You remember that was a miracle. I have spoken in the church. I remind them. I know the parents. I know it's his grandfather. And I say, indeed, you have a miracle baby in your midst. Because if you remember, we were told that, you know, baby Adriel only have a few months to live. Few months. And no surgery can be done. You know, and yet God opened a way one after another. And now he's such a, you know, healthy baby. Some of you have seen the picture. That is a miracle in our midst. God does, you know, wrought miracles today. On Saturday, you know, it was yesterday, I was praying with Sister Catherine. I call him Taika Jai Wan. He's just older to me, older than me. And so she was saying, yes, I guess a few days ago, I came to bring some food for Danny, you know, and I found him, you know. He told me that after 4 days of his surgery, he was very well. He said, as a nurse for all these years, nobody has gone through, a surgery, you know, touching the brains can easily be 4 days, you know, can come out and so well. So that again is our miracle in our midst, our brother Danny. And so she also remember all those people we've been praying for, you know, every Saturday morning, there is Brother Chong Ta and there's Tat Ho and a few others. See, all these people that God has healed. Some of them are having cancer, and yet God has healed that. This is a miracle, you know, that we have. So indeed, you know, God does answer our prayer. God does wrought miracles even in our day. Of course, God always hears our prayer, but he does not always answer it according to what we pray for. And then we must understand, you know. I remember Dr. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham. She said, if God had answered my prayers, I would have married the wrong man. You know, probably, you know, in her early days, you know, there was a man after her, you know, courting her. And maybe she also wanted to marry the man. And so she prayed, but God didn't answer her because God had for her to marry Dr. Billy Graham, you know. My testimony, as I've shared when I first came here, you know, God had answered my prayer, I would have married the wrong girl twice. You know, I shared with you, Alison, who is my third girlfriend, you know. So God works mysterious ways. So young men, young girls, you know, today if you are heartbroken, you know, if somehow your loved ones have left you, and don't worry, God has someone better waiting for you. That is the right one. Marriages are made in heaven. You know, same with Ruth Graham, same with myself. I'm sure same with many of you. You know, this is a testimony. And also, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8-9, he tells us that Paul pleaded 3 times for God to take away that thorn in his flesh. But God did not answer. You know, God did not answer. But what God says is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, this is a very good verse, actually, you know, for a sermon. You know, although in weakness with a thorn, Paul was able to, you know, go through so many countries, Asia Minor, to spread the gospel. If he had not that thorn, probably Paul would be proud. But because of this thorn, in spite of this thorn, you know, God saying, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. With this thorn, you are still able to work for the Lord. God is still using you. So we should pray, you know, and we should and can pray for healing. We can pray for miracles. But of course, finally, it's God's prerogative whether to heal or not. Remember James, one of the disciples, He was the first martyr. Remember Stephen, one of the deacons, you know, he was stoned to death. And remember John the Baptist, he was beheaded. You know, why did God, God could have saved them, but we don't know why God had not done that. I remember in the early 80s, you know, in this same hall, I think probably the old building, at the time I was pastoring Emmanuel Baptist Church. And so in Pastor Tan Soo Yin's wife's funeral, we came here. And, you know, and I still remember, you know, Pastor Tan's wife wrote a letter, you know, before she knows that she's going to the Lord. And she says, you know, one thing I'm going to ask the Lord is, the first thing, why didn't, you know, he allowed me to see my children growing up? Yeah, sometimes on this side of eternity, we will never be understand, you know, the ways of God. I think nearer our home, you know, and nearer us, I'm sure we remember our brother James Wong. You know, on this side of eternity, we will never understand why the Lord has not allowed him to live many more years. We will never know. You know why? You know, but God does answer our prayers, and God sometimes doesn't answer our prayers. You know, he says that the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We can pray, you know, we can ask God to answer our prayers. We can ask God, you know, for evangelism, for our parents and our loved ones. We can ask God for miracles to heal us. And it's up to God whether he will answer us or not. The last one, of course, is prayer and powers for mission. This will take us to chapter 13 of Acts, the first missionary journey. The first missionary journey. It says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manium, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. My brothers and sisters, again we see here prayer. You know, they prayed, they were fasting and praying. And while they were doing that, the Lord says, set apart for me, you know, Barnabas and Saul. You know, so I want to send them up. And so after prayer, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Evangelism, when we talk about it, is our local church, you know. Mission, it is evangelism outside our church, you know. So we see here, Paul and Barnabas were sent, you know, and they went, you know, the first missionary journey, they went over so many places to bring the gospel. Why are they able to do it? Because the church at Antioch first prayed for them. And while they were going, you know, to different places, they will continue to pray for them. If you look at the letters of Paul, you will find out that so many occasions Paul says, I will continue to pray for you. Remembering you, I pray for you. Paul was, you know, is a prayer warrior by himself. So we can pray for missions. We thank God, you know, for our mission partners. We have Sister Grace in Taiwan. The Philippines, we have Titus and Berth. And then Kershen, Wainwem. In Jordan, we have Lorna, you know, and Benny in Cebu. And so many others that our church is helping, you know. And why is it we are able to do that? Because we are a praying church. We thank God for Pantai Baptist Church, you know, that they have mission. They're so mission-minded. That not only we look towards ourselves, but the world at large. You see, churches, we must always, you know, not to be, must have the kingdom concept. You know, we must look, kingdom concept, it is to reach out to the world for Jesus. Places that we cannot go, places that God have not sent us, we can send our prayers. We can send our money to support them. We can send resources. You see, a praying church, you know, empowers for evangelism. A praying church will wrought miracles. A praying church empowers for mission. So we thank the Lord, you know, for Pantai Baptist Church. Indeed, we continue to be a praying church. Pray for everything. You know, because the Lord says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. This is what Jesus wants the house to be. Not a big church, you know, not a super church. But when the church is a praying church, God will bless the church. You look at just now in Acts chapter 2, you know, verse 42, you know, the fellowship of believers. You know, when the people were, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer, everyone was with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, you know. And then, you know, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The last line is very important. What does it say? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number. Not they do evangelism. You see, when the church is doing everything right, when the church is teaching, when the church is coming together for fellowship, when the church is praying, the Lord will add to our number. That is important. The Lord added to their number, not because we have evangelistic methods, not because we have a great evangelist in our midst. No, all those are important. But finally, when we are doing everything right, when we become a praying church, the Lord will add to our number. You know, there's this Christian Life Center. Pastor Waymond Rogers started this church with about 500 people in the 1980s. But after he took over, the church went down to 200, then to 150, then to 70. You know, a church started with 500, then went down to 70. So Pastor Rogers challenged 7 deacons, 10% of the left, the members left, challenged the 7 deacons to pray for him 1 hour each day. Okay, the 7 deacons, okay, Pastor, you know, we only have 70 left. If we don't pray, you know, we will close shop in no time. So the 7 deacons pray for Pastor every day for 1 hour. Then Pastor Roger also challenged the balance. 70 minus 7, you only have 63 left. So he challenged the other 63, and half of them promised to pray for the church. Half of them promised to pray for the church every day. And what happened? The church grew to 2,000. From what? From 17, it grew to 2,000 and then to 6,000. They planted 55 new churches. Prayer is such a powerful tool that God uses. Prayer is the heart of God, and that He wanted us to put that in the first place. A praying church is a growing church. You know, a church that prays together stays together. A church cannot rise higher than the spiritual level of its leaders. And that we thank God, you know, that our church, we have leaders, we have elders, we have pastors, we have deaconesses who comes every week on Friday, on Saturday to pray for the church. Otherwise, no matter how big the church it is, it's only a hollow church without prayer. It's only a shell if there's no prayer to gird it. So, prayer warriors, I hope you know you can come. All those who are praying can come on our Saturday, a morning prayer. If you're not free, you can, you know, come, you know, for Carrie's group or for any prayer. Continue to pray that our church will truly become, you know, a praying church. And when we do that, you will see God, you know, turn many people, you know, you will bring many people to come to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You will see miracles that already happened here, you know, continue to happen. And you will see, you will empower us for mission. We will be able to do more missions outside our local church. Let's pray. Father God, indeed, we want to thank You for this morning, reminding us a praying church. It's a church that empowers us for evangelism. There's so many in our midst, Lord, who have family members, who are parents, brothers and sisters, or even children, have not come to know You yet. Father, we want to pray for them, that You open their hearts, that You will reveal Yourself to them in a special way, that they will know that You're a God who cares for them, a God that wants them to believe in You. We thank you, O Lord, also that the prayer will also help us, you know, empower us to have miracles in our midst. We thank you have answered our prayers, Lord, for baby Adriel, a miracle baby that was given only a few months to live, and yet she's a bubbling baby now of 2 years over, Lord. And we see also you have a wrought miracles for the people we have been praying for. We thank you, Lord, for that. We also want to pray for those on the mission field, and we pray even for more mission fields open for Pantai Baptist Church, where we can reach people, not only have this kingdom concept, not only for our church, but for everywhere, that we can reach Jesus Christ for you. Bless Pantai Baptist Church, Lord. Bless the leaders, that we can become warriors. Thank you, Lord, for all those who have signed up to pray for the different ministries, for the four sisters that have taken up this job of encouraging their group to pray. We hope more can join in. We hope more can be prayer warriors in our church, Lord. And when we have that, we know, Lord, you will bless our church. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, Lord. Amen.